All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Due to recent circumstances involving ESPN personnel, we open up The Usual Suspects with...
What up, H-Town? Hey, never in my life has it felt better to say... What is up, fellas, and how's it going?
Dude, welcome back.
Welcome back, sir.
So good to be back. You have no idea.
You've been missed.
I appreciate that.
Yes. Happy to have you back.
You had people literally texting and tweeting about 18 different things that could have possibly happened to me, which I had no idea was going on, and no answers for them, unfortunately.
You're like, I don't even own a chainsaw.
Yeah, based on things that weren't possible and what happened to me, I was deflecting and people weren't taking my answers as legit, and I was like, okay, we'll solve it when I'm back.
Yeah,
let me deal with what I'm dealing with.
I'm glad you're back. Not that Nick and I didn't have fun, but you know, we were worried about you, obviously.
Oh yeah, and we were making or Barry was making up all kinds of stories.
It's not shocking. My sister even chiming in going, your what sister's... does Barry know that I don't know? Because he's saying this. I was like, okay, I'm sure they're having
snitching
fun.
Snitching ass people. God. Yeah, I was just basically, because I didn't know, because obviously you were all caught up in it and you didn't have time to get into the details, but it was like, oh, we'll just run with it. You know me. We'll just start making stuff up until we like one, and then we're going to go with that. So I went with the fact that Lisa... And if you guys don't know, Joel has missed a couple days. In case y'all have missed a couple days out there, Joel missed a couple days, had an accident. We weren't sure what it was. So I settled on the fact that Lisa, being pregnant and Hispanic, had finally had enough of your stuff and just started stabbing you.
Which?
Was I right?
Plausible story.
Yeah. False. Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I'm married to a Mexican.
I was going
to
say, which is possible.
I know. My wife might stab me tonight. So,
but
it's
fake news.
Oh,
so that did not happen.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, Wednesday night after the show, I got home and I looked at the clock and I said, before it gets dark out, I got a chance to get a quick workout in. I'm going to get on my mountain bike and I am going to try and get about 10 miles or more in. So I was going to go as fast as I can. And around our house, there's the cement paths around the water and you know, no traffic. So I was literally hauling ass. And got into a turn situation that had a little sand on the sidewalk or something, but the tires gave way, and I bit it. And on the way down, assessing everything and realizing I was scraped up on my face, my arm, I looked down at my leg and realized that, and you as a gardening expert can tell me the appropriate technical term for this, but the framing that keeps mulch from getting near grass or sidewalks, that kind of green metal.
Oh, the metal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happened to have a sharp edge that literally put an L-shaped slice through my calf. I could see my calf muscle hanging out, which was cool.
Oh, God. You're going to make me sick.
So amongst all the bring me a towel, electrical tape, and get me to an emergency room and all that other stuff, I figured that was the worst of it. So through all that hell, and then the fact that the pain meds don't kick in for nearly as quick as they should. So I was going to miss Thursday. And my intentions were to be back on Friday. So I go to a doctor's appointment before I was supposed to try and do the show Friday. And the minute the doctor takes the casing around the injury on my leg off, he just starts doing the, oh, that's angry. I'm like, what does that mean?
He said it was angry.
Angry. And Dr. Fan, by the way, the greatest, and all the people at Methodist Sugarland, God bless you, you were phenomenal to me. But he goes, oh, yeah. And he goes, so Joel, you have two options. You have an infection spreading at a high rate.
Oh, no.
You can either roll the dice and I can give you a second or third antibiotic and you can go home, or I'm checking you through emergency into a room where you will stay a minimum of 3 to maybe even 5 to 7 days until we can get that infection out of control. Under control. I said, what? So he takes a pen and he draws it around the inflammation, what I thought was just redness from the injury.
Right.
He's like, no, this is infection. If it crosses the line that my pen is making right now, you eventually run the risk of really serious, he goes, I cannot emphasize this enough, serious ramifications. I get it, doc. I may lose part of my leg.
Oh, my God.
So I made the smart decision.
I can't be doing shows with a one-legged guy. I just want you to know.
Yeah. That's, so Dennis Hopper is not in my future.
Yeah.
But we made the decision to be admitted immediately. And it was a human pincushion for the last four days.
Oh, man.
And literally, and I tell you this, guys, because, you know, now I can joke about it. But look, and the nurses were fantastic, and everybody treated me well. But, like, I had this one nurse, and she was so nice.
Was she hot?
No.
Oh.
But her name was Malu, and she...
Did she skip? What? Who's got the first dad joke in? Boom, 105. Skip to Malu. All right, go ahead.
The female Rafer Alston, it was not. But she had a very, very high volume. She was a projector, as we would say.
Okay. All right.
And she believed that I was sir, even when I asked her 85 times not to call me that. And these antibiotics have to be set up, and they have to be going in at an exact time.
Mm-hmm.
So one was a 2-hour bag that started, and they were 12 hours apart. And the other one was like it was a half hour. She sets it up for the middle of the night.
Oh, that ain't right.
So
every 2 hours.
You finally start falling asleep. And I'm going to try and step away from the microphone bullet. So I'm sleeping at, say, 2 a.m., right? Sound asleep. Good morning, sir. Hello, sir. Are you ready for your IV, sir? I'm like, what is going on? It's like, good morning. What? It's like the way Robin Williams yelled.
Good morning. Oh, no. Mm-mm.
So I was like, can we stagger these hours things so that they happen like while I'm awake time? Not middle of the night time. So then the next two nights I was decent. And last night she goes, okay, sir. So first, here's the trainee I'm working with today.
Oh, you got one of those.
So I get a trainee who decides that when she's flushing the IV, instead of just a quick half a pump, like you're popping a pen to start writing.
Yeah.
She decides it's a full blown push as hard as you can saline through your vein thing. So my forearm's going to explode. And then she decides to do the tutorials between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. when she goes, let's just redress it right now and take all the... And so I can show you what happened, what we've done. I'm like, you guys realize it's not in the middle of the afternoon. I'm trying to sleep. She goes, oh, sir, you'll be fine. I'm like, I was trying to escape. So
That sucks.
That was probably a weekend you wanted to forget.
Absolutely. All of it I wanted to forget. I was so worried about leaving Lisa and the baby with her being so close to giving birth. So a lot of people reached out, like shout out to our vet and also like kennel that decided because they heard what happened that they decided to kennel whatever the dog's Lisa so she didn't have to deal with them.
Oh, that's great.
Because normally I take care.
That's
so
great.
So they helped and a lot of people were willing to help out. So a lot of people deserve a lot of credit, but like my whole focus was, as you guys know, like I was so mad I missed Thursday and Friday, and then with so much going on, I was like, I will be at the show Monday. And so I had all my doctors in line that said, I need you at my room by 9 a.m. Monday morning because I plan on being out of here and on my way to the station by 11:30.
So you left the hospital and came straight to the station.
I did.
That's dedication right there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That is dedication.
Limping and everything.
So I had Lisa have my... She had my car out in front of the house. She had my backpack, my laptop, everything ready to go. And she had my keys. She picked me up. I literally, by the time she got to the hospital, I was already outside. Like, I wanted
out of there. Yeah.
And the minute we got near the house, I just popped out of her car, got into my car, and came to the station because, like, I need this too as therapy to just kind of, like you said, Nick, I want to forget it and I want to move forward. And there's plenty of good stuff to talk about.
Plenty. Did you get to watch any sports this weekend? Or
were
you
Nick
just
and
so
I were concocting
out?
Because I was worried last night's FS1.
What is that? That sounds kinky.
We were concocting a plan because I was mad. One, when
is that
I
like docking?
It's not two butts, one underwear, or anything like
don't,
it.
Don't Google docking, but that's what concocting sounds like.
But Nick
and I
were working up, conjuring up a
plan.
Okay.
All right. There you go.
Because when I looked at the initial schedule, I was like, well, if I'm going to be here, this is the weekend to be here. Because everything will be national TV. The Badgers are 2:30 on ESPN. Packers are not till Monday night ESPN. Astros games will all be national. Well, first I missed the Badger game because they decided that the more important game was West Virginia in some horse crap game.
Right.
So I was mad about that. Then I hear after Fox 26 carried the first game, second game was going to be FS1. And on the listings, on the schedule, on everything, on the channel listings in the room, it said all ESPN channels. So Nick and I are trying to figure out a way that I'm going to be able to get my laptop and get the game. And I realized that...
You should have just asked me. I had an easy way to make that happen.
Those dirty... You wouldn't even help me fix my laptop, so...
But I would in this case. When you're okay, yeah, I'm not worried about you. But you were down and out on your luck. You know, you broke your bicycle and you broke your leg. Well, you didn't break it, but you tore the meat out, your meat. So I would have helped.
You know what? When you least expect it, I'm emailing you the picture of the calf hanging out.
Son of a bitch.
Just so that you can throw up right on your laptop.
Don't you do that.
So the one thing that those dirty bastards in the hospital. It was labeled ESPNU, but it was FS1.
Oh.
So I lucked out. I was able to see Texans and Astros and everything.
Good.
And so I'm up to speed.
Good.
So
very
that's,
good.
That's a good thing.
Well, welcome back, buddy. We missed you. Glad to have you back. The listeners missed you. And
Shout out to all the listeners that reached out, too. They were fantastic.
That's great. Yep. Somebody said they heard you had mono, and that was the word on the street. That's why you were out. You out there
Sam
messing
Darnold
with them.
Gave it to me, but yeah. Evidently we're both okay after the way he played yesterday. How you doing, Cowboys fans? We'll just say that right now.
Yep. Joel, and this is one text, and then I know we got to get out of here. But Joel, as your personal hater, I'm sorry to hear about the accident, and I hope you feel better, man. See, even our haters have a little bit of compassion. So that's I'm glad to hear that.
And by the way, I found out because of the extensive system in Sugarland with hospitals that if that listener does want to get help for that inexplained rage and anger towards me for no reason, that there are psychiatrists that can help him.
Or there?
So, yeah.
Did they offer that one for you?
No, not for me.
No, oh, I was
told
like, wow,
them about
was it that
certain listeners, and I did have their phone numbers accessible if that they needed them, but yeah.
So. Hey, guys, speaking of telling people about stuff, I want to tell y'all about GetUpside. You are going to love this app if, and this is a big if, well, is it really? You're going to love it if you love money. Guys, do yourself a favor. Go download GetUpside right now. Put it on your phone and use my promo code Barry when you install it. And here's why. You're going to get cash back every time you fill up your car through the GetUpside app. And you can get up to 25 cents a gallon. With that promo code Barry, you can get even more on your first fill up. I've had people tell me they get $7, $5. My wife got 30 cents a gallon cash back on her first fill up through the app. It's absolutely amazing. The money is real. When I talk to people and they send me screenshots, I get giddy for them because it's free money. And if you're not, look, a lot of you have listened to me. A lot of you have started using it, but there's still a lot of you that haven't done it yet. And I implore you to go do this because there is no commitment on your part. There is no long-term contracts or any of that. If you don't like GetUpside, just don't use it. It is that simple. Just uninstall it and go back to wasting money if you like that. But guys, you can get up to 35% cash back on every meal that you purchase through the GetUpside app. There's no strings attached here. Like, you don't have to pay any fees or anything like that. These businesses want your business, and that's why they have partnered up with GetUpside. So it's a win-win-win. Everybody wins, and you're getting cash back and keeping some of your money in your pocket. Do yourself a favor right now. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back, and thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Talking to the home plate umpire, Corey Blazer. Here's a fly ball into right. Back at the wall. This game is over. Series is tied in a game apiece.
There you go. Thanks to my favorite Joe Buck, along with John Smoltz.
I hate y'all that y'all don't like him.
At the stroke of midnight, Nick, or just a few minutes before?
11:58.
Was it really? Yeah, that's right.
Right when I looked at my phone, that's when the ball cleared, and it was a home run for Correa.
Golly.
The shot heard round H-Town, even the series, and the man that bit the hand that might feed him one day, for the second time. Correa, all I kept thinking about was his two walk-offs are against the Yankees, and at some point...
That was crazy. They put the... Afterwards, when they were interviewing him, they put up the graphic that said he's got... This is his second walk-off in the playoffs, and the last one was the ALCS, Game 2, 2017.
Yeah, the double that scored Altuve.
And then you look at the Bregman when he had three ALDS walk-offs on the same day.
Yep.
It's pretty crazy how it's all working out. This is Game 1 was a little scary, but you still feel a little bit of this is a team of destiny.
I'm glad you do, because I when Nick was at the game and I was texting back and forth with him and going, we were discussing the game and stuff like that. I felt, and I sent the tweet before game one, talk me off the ledge. I really don't feel about Greinke starting game one. So because they were starting the series that way, and I know you put out the rotation and everything like that and said if it's a long series, it's great because you get your two horses
six and seven.
But after Greinke's performance and more importantly, the lack of offense that this lineup put out there against Tanaka and company, I was on the edge the whole game thinking, as good as Verlander has been, all he's got to do is make one hiccup like he has been known to do with a home run ball, and it could be too much because insurmountable the way this offense was. So when they got the one run lead but left all those runners on base, I was like, no, leave Paxton out there because we need some more. And I'll tell you guys, and a great place to be to have a sick feeling, but when he walked LeMahieu, I thought, oh God, this is it. Because whether it be Judge or Sanchez, I was like, this is the moment where that one walk kills him more than giving up that one mistake.
Yeah.
So when they went down 2-1, I really had all the anxiety in the world, only to have it return in extra innings going with their pen. And I always, it echoes in my head, Barry's bully versus bully, and the Yankees bully is what, you know, puts them ahead of everybody else. I kept going, if they screw this up, this series is over in 4 or 5. If they screw this up, they can't screw it up. So I was on edge.
I wasn't nervous until Josh James came in. And then I was like,
my boy, man. He was awesome again.
That 100-mile-an-hour fastball, ball go far. I was really nervous about that. He got the one out, got the strikeout. That was huge. My question to you guys is, when Correa hit the home run, he immediately put his hand to his ear.
Mm-hmm. Saw that.
Did y'all think the same thing I did, which was, let me hear what you have to say about me now to the fans?
Absolutely.
Talk that, because that was what I thought he was doing. Was he? I have no idea. But then, and that was at the beginning of the home run trot, so then after he gets past second, though, he starts pointing to the fans like, this is for y'all, this is for y'all. So what's it going to be? Was it keep talking that noise? Or was it a, let me hear you, Houston, we just tied this thing up?
I mean, it's probably a little bit of both. You can't be too cocky about a situation like that because then you'll come off as not likable. So I think in a sense, he was like, yeah, in your face.
Where are my critics at?
Yeah. But at the same time, he wants, you know, he wants fans on his side.
The other thing I was thinking of is how quickly is Daniela on Instagram to start telling all the haters to stop and that
that'd
love
be a
Houston?
Bad look.
Because I figured that was coming too, but I did. I had that
noticed
initial
it,
of like, hey, for all of you that have crapped on me all year, this one was for you. And so, hey, look, and if that's the case, so what? Great. And if this catapults him into like moving him up in that lineup and him getting red hot, fantastic. But a lot of it was justified based on how much time he missed and the fact that he's been damaged goods in the last couple years. And there was a lot to prove. But that was enormous because now I see this series going as long as everybody else when I didn't before. And to your point, when looking at the relief pitching, I mean, I woke up an entire floor of sleeping people saying, this has been the guy that I've all since before the season started. This was my guy, Josh James.
Yeah.
But I said, so help me God, if you screw this up, I cannot support you ever again.
Joe was like, yeah, I'm going to need another week off. I don't have to deal with Barry. Here's the thing. And this is what, when they lost the Zach Greinke game, I still thought to myself, this is a series about two people. This is a series about Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole. All you have to do is win those starts, and you win this series.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what worried me last night when this is tied going into extra innings and it's very volatile, is you can't lose this game.
Right.
You have, if you lose the Zach Greinke games or the game 4 starter, whether it's Urquidy or Miley or whoever it is, that's fine. It's on the road. It's in Yankee Stadium.
Well, Miley's out.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, but I'm just saying, going into this series, yeah, whoever is that game four starter, that's fine. But you have to win the Verlander Cole starts, which shapes up to be you win games 2 and 3 and 6 and 7. And mm-hmm. and one of the only one of those that's not at home is game 3, which mm-hmm. would be Gerrit Cole on the road. And I'm fine with that because he is so dominant that I'll take Gerrit Cole on the road versus Greinke or anybody else.
The weather and the wind for game 3.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if you can't hit it. As many swings, that's the beauty of it, is it's outdoors, and I know Yankee Stadium has a short porch. But if you can't hit it, it doesn't matter. True. And that's
but
why
he's still
it's ideal.
He needs a secondary, at least one of his secondary pitches.
Yeah, but to me, having Gerrit Cole on the road is the best thing that could have happened. You've got your best pitcher whose confidence is through the roof. There's nobody in baseball that feels better about themselves on the mound than Gerrit Cole. And he's probably thinking, it doesn't matter where I pitch. Nobody can hit me. So you'd rather have that guy going on the bump in New York with confidence to win that game than to have him, you know, than to have like a Zach Greinke faltering or something like that. So I like the way this shaped up. I think it's actually playing out pretty well for the Astros as long as Gerrit Cole wins his
takes
start.
Care of business
and
in
that's,
game three.
That's what this whole series is about.
Because there's tons to get to. Some people wanted to complain about the home plate umpire, and then they wanted to complain about, you know, the Gary Sanchez at bat. Look, he got 5 strikes, all right?
Yeah.
The fifth one might not have been in the zone. But let's not skip over the fact that the foul ball, if it doesn't hit the rafters, he's out.
Right.
The freaking swing and a miss that wasn't, and he would have been out. I mean, there's a lot to unfold.
Did you see where I tried to jinx it?
No.
I was trying to reverse jinx the jinx, but I was like, usually when a foul ball will hit the rafters, then the next pitch is home run, and that's ball game because that's just how the world works in Houston sports. Didn't happen, but people were not happy that I tweeted that out.
Dude, so. The way Gary Sanchez was on Josh James's fastball, I was like,
it was scary.
Please drive one through the dirt because anything in the zone at 99 and up,
gone.
He's pulling that ball.
Ball go far.
So there's tons to unfold, including the unlikely heroes and J.J. Redick, as well as Carlos Beltran, both playing big roles in the series. You get that one?
He wasn't
you
paying
will.
Attention.
Well, yeah, yeah, no. Yeah, Carlos Beltran.
Yeah, Carlos Beltran and J.J. Redick were both part of last
Will
night.
Smith.
Will Smith.
I did tweet that out. I was like, I wonder if Will Smith and Carlos Beltran have a locker next to each other.
Yeah. And at least A-Rod's done a hell of a job to this point hiding his bias to be a Yankee.
Has he? I haven't listened to post-game.
That was
tongue-in-cheek.
Facetious.
Okay,
he put a freaking Yankee batting helmet on when he picked him to win the series.
Jeez. All right, Lee Corso.
Yep, so we got plenty to unfold, and I'm sure you guys want to get in here, too. We're going to have some fun with it, talking a lot about an Astros victory. Before we do that, I want to talk to you about another great team, and that's the people over at Infuse Energy. Josh Pestikoff and his staff do a fantastic job. So much so, they got a 5 out of 5-star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. They can do the same thing for you they've done for me. I switched 3 years ago, saved me literally thousands off of my bill with my previous provider. And like I said, all you got to do is go to infuseenergy.com, or better yet, call them 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, and they're going to do the same for you. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit right off the top, but they're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, and they're going to find out when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, and is it for your business or for your family, and pinpoint the best rate they can possibly give you. If there's another company out there that can beat their rates, they're going to let you know because they're going to be honest, but trust me when I tell you, you're going to go with Infuse and you're going to be glad you did, like so many listeners already have. Simply put, it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey guys, are you not getting any action? Don't be sad. Get out to MyBookie. You get all the sports betting action you want at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. I love this place, man. You bet, you win, you get paid. That's their slogan, and man, they really live up to it. They've got odds on every game out there. More prop bets than any other sports book on the planet. Absolutely nobody pays you out faster. You get your cash when you want it. That's so important. And you can even bet after kickoff. That's the cool thing too, is if you missed getting it in before kickoff, hey, you can get that action afterwards. It doesn't matter. Parlays, teasers, all of that good stuff. MyBookie has it all. Don't play with some no-name sports book. I always tell you, who you bet on is as important as who you bet with. MyBookie is absolutely the best in the business. And look, you want to be smart with your money, but you also want to get your money. That's the thing. You want to make good bets. You want to have good, solid advice and information, but you also want to get that cash back. And we've had listeners say, dude, I had $1,000 in my account, got it out, no problem. good luck at some of these no-name sports books. You're going to find it difficult at best to get your money out of them. Not with MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. So go sign up today. They're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money. All you got to do is use promo code radio and get that exclusive double your money offer. It's MyBookie.ag. Promo code radio. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Second half hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Monday. In the big city, as Houston could not have had a better day. Obviously, top of mind is that late night victory in the ALCS for your Astros. But of course, we will get to the showdown that was and the win that is the Houston Texans over the Kansas City Chiefs.
This is pretty cool. Several people hit me up, Twitter and the text line too. Truck driver Pookie was the last one, but he said, "Hey guys, love the show." Houston Chronicle, and then Granado also said it. But Correa was pointing to a cancer patient from Laredo that he had promised he would hit him a home run. That's
super cool.
Every time I hear those stories of a, yes, I'm going to hit you a home run, I promise. And then they go out and do it, which it's so hard. You figure the best guys in on the planet at baseball will hit about 40 over 162 games. So to guarantee and to promise this kid that you're going to go out and do that in a playoff game against the Yankees pitching staff.
Amazing thing.
And then you do it, and you go oppo when you do it, which isn't easy.
And I want to say that it's happened during the season to either Brantley. I think Brantley did it. And I want to say that Aaron Judge did it. There's a couple of cases that ESPN has highlighted and also AT&T Sportsnet that they obviously don't even want credit for it because you take your shot, but you don't know if it's going to come through. But the fact that they're able to do those things, and after they beat the Rays when everybody was celebrating, Correa, there was pictures on the internet that Correa actually went to like Children's Hospital before he went home and visited with kids.
That's so cool.
So there's a lot of just really, really good emotions to be pulled from and a lot of great efforts from some really good dudes. Remember when they were the good guys? Root for the good guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're far beyond that, but they are good guys in that locker room.
I believe he told Altuve in the dugout as well, because that's what he said in the post-game presser, that he told Altuve, "I got this," and then he went off and hit that walk-off. So There's an enormous amount of confidence in Carlos Correa, considering everything that's happened in the regular season. Yep. So.
Wow.
And I give him credit, too, because the first thing he said in the interview with Tom Verducci after the game was, "Look, I faced him before. I've had a lot of success going the opposite way. I was looking for something middle out that I could drive to right, and I got what I was looking for." But that's the approach. Don't go up with the approach that I owe a home run to someone and I'm swinging for the fences. He just so happened to square a ball up so well that he squared it up over the fence.
Yeah. Look, he's had a hell of a year when he was on the field. That was the only problem. I mean, to go 21 home runs and, 280 at-bats this year?
That's
pretty solid. When you figure most guys are going to get 500 at-bats, if you double his numbers, just pare it down a little bit, you know, to 250, you're talking about a guy that's hitting 40 home runs and driving in 120. That's solid from a short. I mean, that's amazing for a shortstop. So when he's healthy, he's showing that he's starting to round into this all-star that everybody thought he would be and that elite level player. That's the problem.
Think about it, because when he came back from the injury late in the season, he was balling. He was hitting. He was on it. And then after flight night and pains, what am I looking for? Instead of snakes on planes, it was aches on planes.
Nice.
Because he Very did nice. The flight to the West Coast. The back injury flares back up. You don't see him basically the rest of the regular season. And now everybody's got nothing but doubt again. But we've never said anything other than when healthy, he is one of the top talents in the game. But he just can't stay healthy over the last couple of years. And whether they're fluke accidents and fluke injuries or the back or whatever it is, but man, now the fact that you can literally not only say he looks good, but because you're riding a wave and maybe this is the switch that's flipped, if you're AJ Hinch, you've got options to move him up. Maybe you move Alvarez down. You can do a lot of different things now in the top part of your lineup because he's on it. And it wasn't the only hit he had. So a lot of good things. And here's the thing. I tweeted it this morning. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
Hated it.
But the fact that the defensive play that he made, where he came from in the shift in shallow center field to gun out LeMahieu at the plate, I really believe that this was the Houston's version of the Derek Jeter backhand flip at the plate.
That was amazing.
It seemed like that was the H-Town version of the Jeter flip.
It could have been, yeah.
And the fact that in history now, as we look back at the 2019 season, regardless of where we go from here, we will remember the home run and the flip, I mean, and the throw as much as anything.
I mean, you think about that when with all everything else that you think about Carlos Correa, the one thing is his defense is just out of this world. And to be so big and be able to do what he does, but he's got a cannon for an arm and he trusts his defense, he trusts himself. That's a difficult play to make that he made, because you can't predict a ricochet and it's a bang bang play. You have to make that decision and then you have to be accurate. You're a baseball player. To make that throw, your shoulders are facing first base, your footwork isn't there.
Flat-footed.
That was all arm.
Yes.
That was absolutely all arm and shoulder and nothing else. And to put it on a dime, right where it needed to be, that's just amazing.
New York fans were killing Phil Nevin, the third base coach, saying you shouldn't have sent him. You absolutely should have sent him, because just like when we had these discussions during the year about Gary Pettis, it's the perfect storm. It's like the relays that got Altuve and the DS and some of the other things that have happened to the Astros over the course of the year. You've got to, on the fly, on the dead run, barehand pick up a ball, which is really hard to do. Then have the wherewithal to realize he's going.
Yeah,
I've got to turn, like you said, off balance. I got to throw. He throws a seat at 87 plus miles an hour, flat-footed off his heels, and throws that strike.
It's crazy.
The Yankees did everything right. Altuve just did what he had to do better than anybody else.
It's crazy when you think that...
I'm sorry, Correa.
Yeah, it's crazy when you think that as much as we killed Correa all year for you know, not being there, and like you said, you know, when he did come back, I did the math real quick. He had 80 at-bats, hit 8 home runs. If you extrapolate that for the year, he would have hit 50.
Yep.
So this dude... But, you know, we killed him a lot, and then he comes back, and if it weren't for Carlos Correa beat the Yankees yesterday. I mean, you could literally say saving that run and then getting that walk-off, it couldn't have happened at a better time for this team that was needing a spark. And this might be it. You don't know.
As
I mean, you got to go on the road.
As flat as that offense looked in game one, for so many reasons, you're right, because this from – and Nick, you were actually there, and you were in the middle of it post-game – but this took what, even if they were able to squeak it out some way, would have put nothing but doubts about where's the offense? Mm-hmm. Why are they only scoring this many runs with Verlander on the hill? Where's it been for two games? We're looking at what is happening to the Cardinals going. Are the Astros right there with them? But instead, it completely 180'd the entire vibe. And now, when you hear everybody post-game, all they could say is, we were going to win game two. And now we're going to New York with confidence. And we got our horse on the mound.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing.
It changed the dynamic of the entire series.
You've got confidence. You've got – why wouldn't you be confident knowing you've got the best pitcher in baseball? And yes, I mean, you got to – look, credit – you know, we had the little funny bet going with Verlander and Cole and who was going to win the Cy Young. And I had Verlander. You had Cole. But there's just no doubting that –
who had Cole?
You did.
Okay,
there's just no doubting that Garrett Cole is the best pitcher on this planet
now.
Period. End of story.
Here's what you and I were talking about during the break that I also took away from the weekend. The Greinke thing that I was fearful of before, I'm completely freaked out by now, but I'm so freaked out about it that I feel good, because I believe Jim Crane has seen enough of Zach Greinke to realize. Y'all thought I was crazy when I said about a week or two ago, my goal in life is to have Zach Greinke traded in the offseason so that you have all the money you need just to make sure you keep Garrett Cole. But I believe Jim Crane now, based on what he saw from Garrett Cole and then what he's seen from Greinke and the fact that he's not a power pitcher, he's even lost some of what he's lost. And because of the fact that that whole personality is so different from what he's got in his clubhouse, that whether they trade Greinke or not, he needs to do absolutely everything to keep Garrett Cole in an Astros uniform. Because I was thinking about it last night going, imagine if this team... I'm thinking ahead to 2020, but imagine you got the same team, but you take Garrett Cole off of it. You may not even be in the ALCS.
Here's the question, though. Would you sign Garrett Cole if it meant losing Correa? Because that's probably going to have to happen.
Well, it's either him or Springer, right? Because I think, doesn't Springer come up first?
No. Yeah, I'll have to look. Let me look.
I think so.
But I think money due-wise, the money that you offer, you're like, all right, we can get Correa because you can go to arbitration and keep that subdued. And that's probably the kind of money that you're going to have to set aside for a Gerrit Cole.
But as far as what's cap-wise on the books, regardless of how much Arizona's paying Houston, if you could get that off the books... Mm-hmm. And you could still move Reddick at 15 plus. You could move Joe Smith, who, by the way, was fantastic last night. But if mm-hmm. you can move his 8, even Colin McHugh at almost 6, you're talking about a large sum of cash right there. And hopefully Correa also realizes, hey, I got to give you some back in the context of I haven't been healthy. As long as you give me a commitment that you're going to reward me, like going forward, I will be healthy. There, I honestly believe there's a way to keep Cole and keep Correa, and if it means getting rid of Greinke, I don't care what prospects it costs you. I don't care if you get a bowl of soup back, but you can get that contract.
Yeah,
off.
I'm with you.
That's the way to go.
Yeah. So Springer's arb eligible in 2020, and then he becomes an unrestricted free agent in 2021.
So you got 1 year left to George,
and then you have Correa's arb eligible for the next couple years. So 2022. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
But I think the money difference is pretty big between Springer and Correa.
I do too. But I also think that, look.
And I think you could pay Springer because it's due first. You have arbitration where you're probably in the neighborhood of $5 to $10 million a year for Correa. But then you know that the money that you want to set aside for Gerrit Cole for the next 5 to 7 years, that's Correa's money that you're basically giving to Cole. So when you lose arbitration eligibility with Correa and he becomes unrestricted, you just let him walk.
Okay, but and here's the thing: until you have to get to that, which is 3 years down
yeah,
the line,
yeah.
In that time, Verlander may retire.
That's right. Then well, his contract will be
it's
up for sure,
whether he comes back or not. Yeah. So there's 30 some mil coming back again. So now you're redoing your books on the fly to where you can use that money again to try to keep that whole thing
yeah.
from happening.
Verlander's contract, he'll be a free agent in 2022.
Yep. So, all right, we'll continue to talk. Astros is front of mind with everybody, but of course, we've got lots of Texans to talk about and lots of other things too. Having a ball, talking about wins in Houston is part of what we do. It's ESPN
97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the first hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We're going to switch gears a little bit, get to the other big story of the weekend. We can always double back, and we're going to put this on the table for y'all now. Whatever comes to mind, when it comes to mind, call. We'll take care of how we organize it, but we understand the two big stories are the Astros and the Texans. And so with that, let's get into some Texans talk too, because I don't think that locally, because of Bill O'Brien's history, because of any time he's been matched up against an upper echelon quarterback, that any Houston fan really held out hope at the end of the day that this was going to be a huge success story for your Texans, though they were holding out hope that because of Deshaun Watson and others, that this team was going to play well. I don't think anybody could have seen them playing this well. And this win, coupled with last week's win, lets you know against two pretty damn good quarterbacks, even though Atlanta's a bad football team, that this Texans team, as we've been saying all along, for the future, they may have mortgaged it. And you may have big issues because of the draft picks lost. Because I saw someone say, go out and trade for Patrick Peterson this morning. With what? A bowl of soup?
You ain't trading for much.
But in the short term, once this line got cohesive and Deshaun could be Deshaun without running for his life and being scared to death, that was one hell of a win yesterday by this football team.
This is, for all the times that we come on this show and give Bill O'Brien the business for making poor decisions or poor coaching game plans and not timeouts and all those. That was a near flawless game by the coaching staff and by most of these players. And, you know, Carlos Hyde had the big fumble early, but then he has a bounce back game, averages 4.5 yards a carry, gets a touchdown. That was an impressive win. And I realized that the Chiefs were banged up. And I realize that that front seven is not great, but you have to go out and do what you do. Do what you do. And they ran, they rushed for 192 yards against that defense. They were supposed to. We talked about it, Nick, on Friday that they're susceptible to the run, and you should be able to run against this defense, and they absolutely did. And the game plan worked to perfection for them.
I tend to be with you in terms of the way Bill O'Brien coached too. I felt like for the most part, outside a few penalties, which I would blame the players on execution, and outside that fourth and one call where he threw a bomb. I mean, outside of that call, I felt like Bill O'Brien did a good job coaching.
You and I talked about it yesterday. The one Nick and I were talking yesterday because he was on his way to the game and I was worried about not getting the Astros game. But in the process, we got into a Texans talk. I said, the only thing that I can really kind of just a little poke at Bill O'Brien was fourth and one in the red zone and you throw the fade route in the corner and you get no points out of it. Other than that, I don't even mind the challenge on the really horse bleep Travis Kelce straight pick play that should have been called and the fact that he challenged that because he was right in doing it. It's just that a memo, in watching the games yesterday, a memo needs to be sent across the league that if you're going to challenge any call that was made or not made on PI, expect that whatever was called on the field is going to stand.
Yeah, it's got to be egregious.
Because otherwise, even and in some cases, even when it's egregious, they're not going to reverse whatever they called on the field so they don't put their referees in a very scrutinized and belittling situation. So skip that. So I don't blame anything Bill O'Brien did that way. I did a video on how they could win this game last week for Sports Map, and one of the things was exactly what you guys were talking about on the air Friday, which is run the ball, keep it out of Mahomes' hands more, and control it with the fact that you still have enough weapons offensively to be able to control time of possession. They did everything that I could have asked for, and I could not have been more proud or pleased of a Texans team since we started doing this than that win yesterday.
Yeah, it was a big game for them. You had the duel between Watson and Mahomes, and who was going to win that? And I mean, Mahomes had more throwing touchdowns, but Watson had the two rushing touchdowns. And I mean, interceptions was 2-1. It was a back and forth, and I thought that. My concern was that Deshaun Watson wasn't going to hold his own, wasn't going to live up to his end of the bargain, and he absolutely did. They left a lot of points out there. Will Fuller.
Will Fuller.
Goodness
hands.
Gracious. At one point, we were in the middle of the game. I was at Lucky's Pub yesterday, so I'm having to watch it while I'm doing the appearance, so I missed some of it. But, you know, when I got there, they were like, yeah, Fuller dropped the touchdown. That was the first touchdown he dropped. Then he dropped another touchdown. Then Hopkins. Then you got the interceptions in the red zone. And I think I added up at minimum they left 10 points on the field at one point, and it was up to 21. And if you convert two of those three into touchdowns or
different
field goals,
game.
I mean, split, yeah, this game could have easily been 41-24.
That's where I was going from even comparing Mahomes and Watson. If any, even one or two of those completions happen, Watson blows Mahomes' stats out of the water. Yeah. The crazy thing is, look, you take nothing away with what Patrick Mahomes was able to do a year ago, and he's a hell of a talent. But he got more notoriety for the no-looks and the success of the team and the fact that everybody said that they were that one play away from beating the Patriots, that it was easy to take that and flip it over, carry it over into this year and say it's going to be a long-term thing. But when you look at Deshaun Watson and what he's had to endure, it should only give you more hope that Deshaun can be better than Mahomes if given the right environment, meaning an offensive line, weapons to use. And when he makes decisions, he's not just making throws. He's making accurate passes to the right side of a receiver to make sure that they are caught. They are not in the line of danger. He does so much for a team that... That's why we started this discussion a while back where I said, if you took Patrick Mahomes off the Chiefs and put Deshaun Watson on the Chiefs, do you think it would be any different? Because now after watching yesterday, I really don't think it might even be better.
Yeah, it's very possible. I think part of the success, though, that you're seeing is, look, he wasn't sacked again. Give some credit to the offensive line for that, but give credit to Deshaun Watson for that. But also give credit to Bill O'Brien. The play calling...
Yep.
Has been noticeably different since a couple games ago when he was getting sacked left and right. The Falcons game, play calling was a lot different. This game, play calling was a lot different. They used their tight ends the last 2 weeks a lot more. They've started getting – he's getting the ball out faster, Deshaun Watson is. He's making quicker decisions. And all of that is helping to eliminate these sacks that were killing them on drives. They were just – those are drive killers every time. And if you're getting six – if you're killing six drives in an NFL football game, you're fighting with one hand tied behind your back. So kudos to everyone involved, the line, the coaching staff, Bill O'Brien, and Deshaun Watson. It's taken a team to right this ship as far as the sacks go, and they've done it.
And let's also start our number two with something that people haven't thought enough about. Something happened yesterday that Texans fans are far too used to seeing happen to them, and the result was completely different from that point forward. And that's something that needs to be discussed, too, because that gives you the ultimate sign. Things may be a-changing down on Kirby and for this fan base. So that's something we can talk about as we go forward. Lots of good stuff. Texans win. Astros win. Everybody wins in H-Town. And that's what we are talking about. We're also talking about the fact that if you want to win when you get out of the house to watch sports, like tonight when America's team takes the field against the Detroit Lions, you want to go to a Twin Peaks. Five area locations in Houston, and they're all going to take great care of you because you know how beautiful the Twin Peaks girls are. So it's a sight for sore eyes when you're looking to get service at a table, and they take care of you. But on top of that, it's a clean environment. It's made from scratch, entrees and appetizers right in their own kitchen. It's those 29-degree draft beers, and it's the fact that there are so many screens all around the establishment and so many different packages they're subscribed to. You can watch baseball playoffs on one screen, Monday Night Football on another screen. If you want to watch some preseason basketball on another screen, they can do that too. They take care of everything so you don't have to, so that when you get out of the house, it's being waited on hand and foot instead of you doing all the stuff of preparing the food. Where's the remote? What am I doing? Where are the kids? You're good to go. Just check out, take my word for it, and check them out. One of the five locations. You're going to be glad you did. It's Twin Peaks. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It's got to be Twin Peaks.
Oh,